So this morning I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians 16, 7 through 8, on trusting God's sovereignty over the details of your life. This is very important, and I say this is not in a cliche manner at all, but I really firmly believe that God has everybody here hearing this sermon that needs to hear it. This is very important, including me. But anyways, even in the recording, those that hear it. Because this is about your relationship with God, where there must be trust. And we do have trust. I mean, we trust him for salvation and trust him for a lot of things, like answering prayers. But the question is, do you trust God over the details of every little pocket of life? Because that's what this is. Trust him knowing that even when it doesn't make sense, something doesn't make sense, even when things seem the furthest from good, do you trust not only as a concept, follow me, that God is intelligently, lovingly, powerfully working it all for good purposes? No matter what, your faith and trust is going to get tested in something, especially in devastating, very hurting, very dark times, and we go through those. You may be experiencing something like that right now, something that's daunting. You might be going through a very tough time. Well, I hope this sermon's going to help. I'm going to read the passage starting in verse 3. The emphasis is 7 through 9. I'm also going to read 11 through 12, some of it. But Paul said, verse 3, when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me, but I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. And Paul says in verse 7, I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And in 11 through 12, Paul says, I expect him, Timothy, with the brothers, Apollos, will come when he has opportunity. Prepare your heart for this sermon, very important. Trust God's sovereignty over the details of life. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to trust your sovereignty. We need to understand it, embrace it, and live it in faith. And we ask, Father, that you would use this sermon to bring that about in our heart and in our actions. We ask that by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we get into this, we got to realize that you share a lot in common with the Apostle Paul. You really do. And one thing is making plans. Paul made plans. But there's something else that we need to have in common with Paul. Paul embraced a life principle. Paul knew he was operating along with God's operation. Paul understood God's sovereign work in such a way as to recognize that his own life is in the middle of God's work. It's the way it is with all of us, but he recognized this, and that God is always, always, always working. And when it came to faith, Paul trusted God with every single moment of this existence. And so what we need to think of this as, what Paul has, is a spiritual sense, a spiritual sensitivity. Just call it a spiritual sense. And this is the lesson. Know that you operate along with God's operation all the time. Embrace this and then live like you do. God wants this to be your moment-to-moment spiritual sense. He wants you to live by it. And if you don't have this sense, or if you lose it, and I mean lose the faith sensitivity that you are operating along with God's operation, okay, trusting it, if you don't have that, then you're going to go along in life with a confused understanding about things. So you may generally trust God, but without the spiritual sense that you're operating along with God's operation, you will not trust that no matter what happens, you are an active part in God's grand orchestration of things for his higher and his very, very good reasons. But there is a chance you may not acknowledge this. I know Christians who do not believe this involves everything. And it's not that their opinion stops the way it is. What they stop is their trust in it. They don't do what God wants, which is look to him to be accomplishing his higher ways in everything, all things, even uncomfortable things. And so to avoid that mistake, you must nurture the sensitivity. Think of the old covenant people of God, the Israelites. Every time they quit understanding God, they had this problem. And then back then, this did happen over time. They did quit understanding God. They lost their spiritual sensitivity to his sovereignty. So in Isaiah 46:5, God asked them, "To whom can you compare and liken me? Tell me whom you think I resemble so that we can be compared." Now, there's a problem which can occur when God's people begin thinking of him in ways which compare him to the ways of us, to people. And so they quit understanding his radical difference, something that we should never do. And so after asking that question in Isaiah, God explained the details about the reality of who and how he is, saying, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's no one like me." So you get that, right? And you realize everything about God, including his sovereignty over the details of life, is completely unique. Well, God went on and he gets to the core of it. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He says, he declares the end from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? "And from ancient times in the past, declaring things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will definitely accomplish all my good pleasure," all of it. Meaning God will never not accomplish what he wants. And then God goes on and explains it this way. "Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will definitely bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it." Well, this sense of ultimate control God wanted his old covenant people to have about him again after letting it grow fuzzy in their understanding is the same realization of the apostles that we're looking at in this epistle, but they all had this. It's the same realization we all need to have. God declares the end from the beginning. He's establishing his purpose. It's from eternity past. He's working it out all the time. He's calling people forth from all over the place, including you. He's making it happen. He is always accomplishing it. And what he plans, he does. Well, this is the spiritual sensitivity. It's what God plans, he does, doing it with you. Doing it with your own part in it all. No matter what anyone plans and does, including you, there never is a time that God is not always operating this way. Never a time that he's not doing this. Declaring the end from the beginning. Establishing and accomplishing his purposes. And when you walk in the clear sense about this, you walk in it, you are in the category of God's exceptional people of the Bible. And don't say you can't be that. God calls you to be that. And like Paul, the Apostle Peter had this clear sense. In Acts 2:3, Peter preached to the Jews saying, "Jesus was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God." Wow. So Peter lived the understanding. He's simply pointing out God's sovereign operation over the details. But Peter had a whole point that he was making, and listen to it. He said, "Jesus was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God," but then he said this, "You Jews nailed Jesus to a cross by the hands of godless men." Now, what was Peter realizing? That everyone exists in the principle. So he informed those Jews and godless men that they all operated according to their own plans, choosing according to their abilities, and in their hearts they were sinning, rejecting and murdering the Messiah. And the understanding for your sensitivity is that they worked within the confines of what God ordained to come to pass for ultimate good and the ultimate sacrifice for sins. Now remember, God wants you to have the spiritual sense like the apostles, right? So listen to Peter's prayer in Acts 4. Peter said to God, "In this city, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." So Peter pointed out to God, kind of worshipfully, because God knows everything, he pointed out what people planned and proceeded to do, which was what? Sin. But listen, then Peter said, "They gathered against Jesus to do whatever your hand, Lord, and your purpose predestined to occur." That's the spiritual sensitivity. It should be in everything. It should be so instinctual that it comes out in all of your prayers. And it becomes a worship statement. According to your plan, everything you ordain to happen does. But the instinct on this must often be counterintuitive to be spiritually intuitive. You're going to have to understand most things in a very counterintuitive way. See, it's counterintuitive to understand that godless men were acting on their part in God's sovereign plans. It's counterintuitive to understand that sin was their own motivation. Sin is what they wanted to do, and sin was in their actions. This is why biblical intuition is necessary, word-based. Without biblical revelation, if you try to tell a Christian that godless men and the sins of people are in some sovereign God way, and you can think about anything that's going on in the world, including in other countries or anything all over the world, in our government, with neighbors, with your friends, even in your own household, that in some sovereign God way, they're actively part of his plans to bring ultimate good. If you tell that to a Christian that doesn't understand this principle, they don't believe it. Because it's counterintuitive to know the wicked are planning and they're being destructive and they're doing disgusting things while in the grand scheme of God, they're accomplishing God's plan for good in the end game. Peter did not have this intuition at first. It was revealed to him by Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about now, is standing on the word. It's word intuition now. It's Bible-based. And so Peter had to embrace this, and then he had to trust it where? Everywhere. Once you get this, you need to trust it everywhere. It's not just, this God, he kind of walks away from it all. No, he doesn't walk away from it anywhere. It's always the way things are. It was the way with Adam and Eve. It's the way always. You know bad things are going to go on all around you, and you know they are right now. People are hurting. There are corrupt government actions. There are various sinful world agendas. Multitudes of people doing horrible, unspeakable crimes. Trust the biblical principle. What those Jesus rejectors did was very bad. It was hurtful. It was involving corrupt government actions, sinful world agendas, multitudes of people involved in this crime against the Lord, and yet Jesus walked in it with pure understanding while he was going through it. And now Jesus calls you to walk in it with pure understanding. Walk in what? In the drama of life, in everything. Okay, Joseph had the spiritual intuition when he was going through his things in life. It's the intuition that we must employ. His brother sold him into slavery. And he went through horrible things for years and years and years as a slave. But God ultimately used it all for blessing purposes. And so later, when Joseph becomes this very wealthy, ruling man, he told his guilty brothers that what people mean for evil, God means for ultimate good. He's stating the principle. He's living, he's believing, he's stating the reality, and it's the word of God. You embrace what he said because that's our word from the Bible. Do you have this spiritual intuition? Are you trusting God's sovereignty over the details of life, that you're operating along with God's operation, knowing God's hand is there with human planning and doing? If this is only interesting Bible teaching to you, but not your pathway through the wilderness of life, then the Spirit is urging you to tap into the head knowledge you're collecting and trust in what God is doing in his active presence and all from your heart. There's something else. When it comes to your own practice of planning, when you want to do something, you think about how you want to accomplish your plans, right? And there's nothing wrong with this. Paul shows that human planning is something good, and everything that he says and everything else that he's written in Scripture. Paul shows human planning is good. He knew that it's compatible with being led by the Spirit. He planned to do things, and he also sought the Spirit's leading. It's true spiritual intuition in action. Don't think being led by the Spirit must mean that there's no need to plan or that planning is wrong. Paul shows that planning and being led by the Spirit walk hand in hand. And the thing to be careful about not doing is rely on your plans more than on God's providential sovereignty over your plans. Physical intuition, not spiritual, but physical, is to focus on the plan as the standard of accomplishment and success. And that's so easy to do. A balanced understanding helps keep you recognizing the right approach. As you go along, check your balancing scale. Go ahead and think about doing something. Plan on doing something. Go forward in the direction of your plans, but considering that what you do is cooperating with God. Think, I truly have a choice of my own to make things happen. And by my choice, I do, but also recognize that any power you exert to make things happen, that is secondary to your Lord, to God. So say, God's sovereign providence always stands over and above my actions. And in it all, God is working out his determination through the actions of my own choices, me along with all other human choices, all of them and things that happen, and he's doing it without violating my freedom. But I live in this relationship that he invented. Cooperation with him, the Lord, working with God, but under his rule and his sovereign purposes for the way anything goes. This is a balancing weight of understanding. And you can detect it in Paul's own balance scale. In Paul's closing remarks here concerning his plans, he said plainly, when I arrive, I hope to remain with you for some time. But he adds, if the Lord permits. Now that cooperation-oriented intuition is what you want to be just as instinctual with you. And then Paul asserts, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Well, that's a pretty straightforward plan. But he says next, because a wide door for effective service has opened to me. It's instant recognition that God turned the knob, God swung open the door. It's the faith way of thinking that you're going to experience from cooperation-oriented intuition, which is just there. It's there as knowing, but also as trusting. Now listen to the intuition come out so simply in 1 Corinthians 4:19. Paul says, I will come to you soon. We all say that, right? But then Paul said this, if the Lord determines it. You know, if you start saying that about everything, you're not only speaking the truth, but you're sharpening your intuition. You're practicing to perfect your mindset. In Acts 18:21, Paul's practice is there. I will return to you Ephesian Christians again. And then he says, if God determines. So practice saying, if God determines, if God wills. But there's another practice, and Paul had it. Practice confidence in God's sovereignty in the midst of whatever the details are. It's like what Paul said in Romans 1:10. I'm always making requests in my prayers, if perhaps, now at last by the determination of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Well, that kind of trust, that if perhaps God wills it kind of trust, is the confidence. You're called to that kind of faith which completely relies in God's sovereign determination in your life. David of ancient Israel sang about it in Psalm 31. I trust in you, O Lord, my times are in your hand. And to keep that confidence going, practice saying, all of my time, all of it, every microsecond is in your hand, Lord, every year, every decade, every part of it. Practice thinking like Proverbs 16:9. My mind plans my way, but you direct my steps, Lord. What you're doing is you're practicing scripture. And scripture is what gives you the right weight for a balanced scale. Practice the scriptural foundation and you're backed by the facts of faith. Add the weight of James 4:13-15. It is a good fact-based foundation stone for the way to go. It is James 4:13-15. And it says there, come now. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord determines, we will live and also do this or that. So what you say reflects what you think. And so this is a really good check, letting you know whether you are practicing your spiritual intuition the way that you should be doing. So think scripture. That's the key. Think God's word as you practice the walk. Say, if the Lord determines, I'll live and I'll also do this or that. And what you're doing is you're walking in God's word. You see, you're keeping your eyes open and you're doing what could sometimes seem like very dramatic things in life, but you're also doing what could seem like mundane, meaningless things. God is in all of it. As you do anything, standing on God's word keeps you trusting in him, in this principle, in this reality. And when Paul said that he hoped to remain with them, if the Lord permits, and that a wide door for effective service had been opened to him, he was going along doing things, whether mundane or dramatic or whatever it was. And as Paul went and doing even basic things, doors were shut or doors were opened. as you go according to your plans. Because remember, planning's good. Practice looking for doors. You're going to encounter closed doors. You're going to encounter open doors. Look for what we'll call the door principle. And it's the way that Paul actually recognized things, because he had the tuition so much that he just referred to it as doors in recognition. Okay? And so he mentions the door principle in Colossians 4. Paul said, pray for us that God will open up to us a door for the word. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas declared all that God had done with them and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul said, when I came to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was open for me in the Lord. Use the door principle. But remember to be in active communication with God in everything that you do. I hope you're doing that. Practice daily prayers for God to open doors. And while you do, think like Paul. Know that what God is doing is not always smooth when it's coming about. It's not always going to be smooth for you. It wasn't always smooth for Paul. It's not always going to be easy for you. Paul knew a door had been opened in ministry, but Paul said this. He said, and there were many adversaries. Think about that. You know, God's opened the door, and there are many adversaries. Many adversaries could have been interpreted by some as the door being closed. How many times have people wrongly considered a door being closed because of some discomfort? I think I'm guilty of that. But Paul didn't say there are many adversaries, so, you know, the door must be closed. No, take special notice of this. Paul considered many adversaries as being something connected to God's door-opening work. You see, the principle is, it always is, the principle exists. Practice trying to look at obstacles through the eyes of the Spirit. Sometimes you'll get insights on why things are not so smooth. Sometimes you won't. And with Paul, he recognized adversaries to be an opportunity. So he looked at the expectation as being rough, but being God's will. But more with the understanding that God works all the rough things for ultimate good. And though Paul would encounter hearts which were closed, the door was opened by God to go and confront their hearts with the good news of God. When it comes to trusting open and closed doors, be ready for things like opposition and persecution, even tragedies, sad things, and other experiences of adversity which feel the furthest from good. They await you when certain doors are closed, but they even await you when certain doors are open. God never promised that life will be smooth, even in his comprehensive sovereignty in all things. Jerry Bridges explains the proper understanding in his book titled Trusting God. I just like the way he words this. In the arena of adversity, the scriptures teach us three essential truths about God. Now, these are the things we embrace in our balancing scale. He says, truths we must believe if we are to trust him in adversity. I'm quoting him. They are, God is completely sovereign, God is infinite in wisdom, and God is perfect in love. And then he says, someone has expressed these three truths as they relate to us in this way. And this is very important how these are laid out in these three short sentences, so pay attention. God in his love always wills what is best for us. In his wisdom, he always knows what is best. And in his sovereignty, he has the power to bring it about. This is the trust. Keep this in mind with everything concerning God's will. Keep this in mind with everything concerning opened or closed doors. So when you pray for an open door, look for answers, but look for the answer to be the kind that comes in God's sovereignty over the details of life from his point of view. It's all about his infinite mind and his pure love for what's best, his pure wisdom in knowing what is best, and in his sovereignty using his power to bring it about, and in his love for you is perfect. Walking in this knowledge really boosts your spiritual intuition. And actually, you know, people will be amazed in your trust in God. But it's just that you're believing the truth, that the details have a good, higher purpose, and that God really is working. And what you're doing is you're homing in on all of this, and you're trying to practice this truth. So when others see a closed door as defeat, They will see you recognizing closed doors as opportunity for further prayer and seeking what God has in store. You're going to be looking for what's next. You know, when others see a roadblock shutting down everything, they'll see you recognizing the closed doors. They just might be opportunities to go another direction. They might be opportunities for me to be creative. The closed door may be a motivation for me just to think another way. You know, maybe you can think of closed doors. It could be the time that God wants you to have more patience. So in your life, you might have a closed door experience right now. Maybe you don't understand it. Keep these insights there with you so that you can be understanding and you can trust. But even when you do, there's another thing. Be flexible. Paul made extended, complex plans, and he definitely walked in God's word. But Paul also was flexible. And Paul said, if it's fitting for me to go, they'll go with me. He said, perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter. He said, I hope to remain with you for some time. See, Paul had the same kind of mystery understanding of the future like you do. When it comes to trusting God's sovereignty over the details of life, he had the same understanding. Unless he had a prophetic revelation, Paul was unsure of what God's unrevealed will was concerning the future. That's typically the way that we mostly operate in life. So what did Paul do? He was flexible through faith. So as you're operating in the spiritual intuition, use it for flexibility through faith to help you deal with what God permits. Unexpected doors will open to walk through. Closed ones are opportunities for change. Flexibility through faith is a way of listening in patience to God's direction the way he wants you to listen. And I know for me, the best way to be flexible with my plans is to think like Paul did. I find I'm not very flexible with my plans when I don't ground them firmly in the fact that God is sovereign over the details of whatever it is I'm focused on. And I find that I'm not very flexible when I start to drift from the intuition that I'm here in cooperation with God's grander scheme. Really, I realize it's all a faith issue when it comes to trusting God. So let's all do this. Practice keeping God's template incorporated into your plans. That your mind plans your way, but God directs your steps. That as the Lord determines, you will live or do this or that. Okay? That you will go someplace or remain, but it's if the Lord permits. And do it with the trust that no matter what you experience, God in his perfect, perfect love always wills what is best. In his infinite wisdom, he always knows what is best. And in his complete sovereignty, he not only has the power to bring it about, he is bringing it about. Amen?